This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
9:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. But today it's me and Cordell. We're calling it the Soul Patrol.
Yeah.
Orioles, we lost five in a row. Three-game series begins tonight in Anaheim. They take on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, the biggest posers in baseball. Use your own city, Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles, man.
They don't even want them anymore.
They're not even that close to Los Angeles.
No, they're not. And that's a misconception. I had a birthday trip out in L.A. maybe 2 years ago, and me and my friends thought we'd just go catch an Angels game, try to find out what day Ohtani's pitching and playing, and at that time he was pitching. And when we looked it up to see where the stadium was, it was about a two-hour drive.
Yeah.
Changed our plans
very quickly. Not even that close, man. Let's just stop with the nonsense. But they're out in Los Angeles, in Anaheim tonight for the first of a three-game series over the weekend. Sagano is pitching for the first time in his career. Dean Kramer had consecutive performances of seven innings.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter. You know why? Because they left a village on base. And Brandon Hyde, after the game, addressed the issues with runners in scoring position.
I think it's inexperienced pressing. You can go for a wide array.
Now, you said maybe pressing, but you're not buying an experience.
No, I'm not buying an experience. I think pressing, you can attach that to any baseball struggles at the plate. I think it's clear that they're pressing a little bit. I think that's natural. The inexperienced part is something that I'm not necessarily buying. These guys, while still young, they have played meaningful baseball. They've been competitive. They've won, in my opinion, the toughest division in baseball. They've won 100 games. They've been to the playoffs. They've hosted playoffs. They've had a first-round bye. So while they're young, they have gone through a lot of success. Now, you brought up the point earlier, they hadn't gone through a lot of turmoil. They hadn't gone through a lot of struggles, and that may be the case. They're still going through the struggles that they were going through last year. But I don't think that equates to inexperience. Gunnar is experienced to me right now. Ryan O'Hearn is experienced, and he's their best hitter right now. Ryan Mountcastle, he's an experienced hitter. He just stinks right now. That's just what it is. Heston Kjerstad, okay, young guy. Said another veteran, been around for a while. But Adley Rutschman, another one. I think these guys are experienced enough.
I'm not going with the experience in and of itself. They are experienced players. I was told to tell whether or not you're good on any level, minor leagues and then the major leagues, you need 12 to 1,500 at-bats.
Okay.
All these guys you named are over 1,500.
Right.
Gunnar Henderson surpassed 1,500 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Adley Rutschman is working on 2,000.
Right.
So experience in and of the game itself, you're right. But the problem is this for me. Gunnar Henderson, in a brief time in baseball in 2022, His OPS was 788. I mentioned OPS because that's what I believe in. All right. In 2023,
you're a converted OPSer. You're converted.
Yeah, I'm converted. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I once was lost and now I'm found. 2023, when he won Rookie of the Year, his OPS 814. Last year, when he finished fourth in MVP, his mm-hmm. OPS was almost nine. It was 893. And now this year, it's below seven. It's 698. I am leaning heavily, heavily on pressing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know why I'm leaning on pressing? I just gave you Gunnar Henderson's stats. He's never failed.
No.
He's never struggled. That's where the pressing comes from. You're right. In and of itself, as baseball players, they're experienced players, Cordell. You're right about that. 100%. But when it comes to seeing it all, they're not experiencing that. That's why, to me, I beg them. I beg them. I think my preacher once said, I beseech you. They got to go out and get a guy who's been there, done that. And I know this guy doesn't exist right now, but I'll go back to 2014. You have no idea how big Nelson Cruz was in that clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe me, look at 2015 when they let him go. Nelson Cruz was huge because Nelson Cruz came up. He played in the World Series. He was the man in the middle of the order at other teams, and he was a pro. Nelson Cruz was a pro. He was one of the best pros that I ever saw. Ask Adam Jones. Ask Mark. Ask all those guys. They'll tell you. Nelly was a pro, man.
Well, Ken Wyman still hasn't gotten over the Orioles.
I haven't either. Nelson Cruz. I haven't. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm so glad that regime is gone because I don't have to look at him. I mean, I'm serious. Like, what were you thinking again?
Mm-hmm.
Just remind me of what you were thinking. You know, I'll admit, I thought it was a good idea to sign Chris Davis. I did. Not because you let Nelson Cruz go, but did you see Chris Davis's
right.
numbers leading
right.
up to that? Nobody saw him falling off.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Davis maybe proved that the world is flat because mm-hmm. he fell right off of it. But I just, they need a guy like that. They do.
You know, I don't disagree with that. I've been saying that for a while. In fact, I think at the end of the season press conference last year, I asked Mike Elias about getting more of those experienced bats in the clubhouse. And, you know, he didn't push away from it. Look, he goes and gets these aren't Nelson Cruz types, but he goes against Laureano. He goes against Tyler O'Neill, who's coming off a great year. They thought that would be a part of the fix.
Yeah,
but
I'm not saying Laureano is a good addition.
Right. Now, it looks like it now.
He's a good addition, but he's not dude.
No doubt. He doesn't change the trajectory of your season.
Yeah.
And you brought up Gunnar's stats, and I think that's a good point because while this is the first time Gunnar is failing, guys like Gunnar and Adley, who's a 1-1, and Jackson Holliday, 1-1 as well, these are dudes that have been great at this sport all their
yep.
lives. And I do think there's and they were great before they were drafted to the Orioles. They were great at every level that they played
at. Yeah, that's why they drafted where they were.
They were great without all the analytical things that's being poured into them. And I'm not saying that I'm anti-analytical. I'm not at all.
I don't know about that with Jackson Holliday, though, with his dad.
Jackson Holliday
may have been fed analytics his entire
life. I'm not saying that analytics is the problem. I think given too much
analysis
information.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah, just sometimes these guys are being fed too much information. They're given too much stats. They're given too many graphs to show what they're doing. And sometimes you just got to go out there and let the human element play its course. And I think the Orioles are very stuck to the way they operate, and they're not allowing these guys to work.
I asked you this earlier. I'll ask again for the people who didn't hear you earlier. Do you think Mike Elias is too smart for his own good?
Yes. Yes. I mean, all you have to do is look at the moves that they make and the moves that they don't make. You know, I think he takes a gamble on their operation and their philosophy and their organization. He gambles on them being able to make something out of nothing instead of taking the risk with maybe giving up something young for something more proven, taking those big swings to bring those proven guys in that you would like to see when you're a contending team like the Orioles.
Joe, I would love to be so smart that I'm too smart for my own good. That's like wizardry right there. I would love to be that smart. Let's go to Severn and get Danny. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
What's up?
My thing that I have noticed about the Orioles, and I know it's hard to do this when you're losing, mm. But I don't see like the fun in the dugout and how the guys, you know, cut up or, you know, like throw peanuts at each other and just having fun, you know?
Did you watch the game yesterday and the day before?
Not yesterday, no.
Okay, just yesterday, who was it? It was Kyle Gibson and two pitches to the flank to his right and left. I can forget who it was. There was a double hit, and they were sitting there loading their mouth up with water to do the sprinkling. Mm-hmm. They all sprinkled. They all laughed. They all, two nights ago, the high-fiving and the bouncing off one another in the dugout. It's hard to be. You answered your own question, though. They got 13 wins out of 36 games. Are the Chicago White Sox showing joy in the clubhouse, in the dugout? Are the Los Angeles Angels showing joy in the dugout? What about the Marlins? What about the Pirates? You know why? Because they're not winning enough.
Something's got to happen to make that happiness show up.
If they look totally happy right now, Cordell.
People would be upset.
Exactly.
People would be
so
upset.
So you want them to be excited about losing. Because then you'd criticize that. They look too happy for a team that's not winning, Joe. What's wrong with it? Are they good with losing? That's just one of them damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I mean,
man.
What would concern me is if they're hitting home runs and they're getting the hits and they're not celebrating.
Yes.
That would concern me.
They went 1-for-13 in runners in scoring position yesterday.
Nothing to really celebrate.
What are we celebrating here? Seriously. Joe LaCroix's encore at 9:45, but on the other side, do you feel the AL East is still wide open? Is it clear the Yankees are the class of the division or not? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Show on the Fan. 9:18 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Now, yesterday we were talking about the American League East, Cordell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Ed who said he doesn't think the East is as strong as it used to be, citing the Yankees. I disagree. I think the East is more balanced than it's been in years, with the exception of what the Orioles are doing right now. I think the East is going to beat up on one another. Having said that, do you believe the American League East is wide open?
I do believe it's wide open. I don't know. I think it's open right now. The Yankees at the top right now with a 2-game lead over the Red Sox. The Red Sox seem like a team that I can kind of believe in a little bit. Alex Bregman is playing like a potential MVP candidate right now. I know Rafael Devers is like, I don't really know what's going on with him. He doesn't want to play first base. And I get it to a degree. And he's a great player
ego.
In his own right. But, yeah, ego is a big part of it. And I'm not one of those guys that's going to side with somebody who's not doing what's best for the team. But
if it's really ego, then he should not play third because he sucks at it.
He sucks at third.
Statistically, he's the worst third baseman in the league.
And he was upset about Bregman coming in and getting third base. And Bregman's been great over there. He's been great. So, yeah, I mean, I love what Devers gives them offensively. But that Red Sox team, they are one I'm starting to believe in. The Rays, I can't get a pulse on the Rays. It's like for a second, maybe a week or so ago, they were getting hot. And
they don't they don't go away.
Yeah.
They don't die, they multiply.
I can't put my finger on them. The Blue Jays, I just think, are just always going to be the Blue Jays. I just think they'll float, and eventually they'll find their way on the bottom of the division.
Yeah.
I don't know where the Orioles are slot right now. It looks like they're going to be one of the four or five best teams in the division. One of the worst teams right now in the American League in general, for sure.
I think the East is wide open because I think it's very – and I know the Orioles, what they're doing right now, it doesn't look balanced. But I think you have a lot of the same talent around the American League East. I think the Yankees have holes. They have flaws. That's why they won the 500 over the last 10. No one is better than 500 over the last 10 games in the AL East. And often you see that. And I think this division, I think this is proof that I think the AL East is still very good. Who represents the American League in the World Series right now, in your opinion?
Tigers.
You think Tigers?
I think the Tigers right now.
I think the top two teams in the East.
Yankees and Red Sox?
Yeah.
And them Tigers are hitting, man.
They are hitting, but I think the top two teams in the East. But I don't think the Yankees are the class of the AL East. I don't think they've proven that yet. They're two games ahead of the Red Sox. I think the Blue Jays can beat them. You're talking regular season. They can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees lost two out of three to the Rays. I think twice they lost. They won three out of four, and then they lost two out of three to them. They played them twice already. They swept the Royals. I just think they're not the class of the East. I think that right now the Red Sox are a team, like you said, that can beat them, can dethrone them from the AL East title. I don't know who the Baltimore Orioles are. I don't know what significance the East being open is to the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know if they're good enough to take advantage of a wide open American League East.
Right.
That I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
I mean, can the Orioles take advantage of an East that's wide open? I don't think so.
And how deep of a hole are they going to dig themselves? Right now, they're 7.5 games back of the Yankees in the division. I mean, right now, this is a team that loses a 5 straight. They've lost, 9 of their last 12?
Yes.
Their run differential right now is the worst in the American League, second in the majors. So it's not a lot of optimism for me there. But I do feel like the East isn't that juggernaut that they usually are.
Right.
This year it's the Central in the American League. The Central.
Yeah, you like the Central.
I do like the Central right now. Just looking at the Central, they have three teams that have winning records against the AL East. The Tigers 5-1, the Royals 7-5, the Twins 5-1, the Guardians are 6-6 against the AL East this year. So usually that's the division, the team that everybody's looking at, like, oh, if we played in the Central, you know, we'd be this, and that. Not this year. Right now. And the AL East isn't terrible, but they're just not at the standard that they have set themselves for. And look, it's still a lot of baseball to be played. It's a lot going on with all these teams in the division. Things can change. But right now, it does look like a two-team race for me in the East with the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. If you look at the first four teams in the AL East, it looks to be the division is wide open. If that is true, have the Orioles dug themselves too deep in a hole to be a part of the race in the East? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Did they just put my man?
It never ends.
They put my man Ron Simmons in here. Oh, he did it again. Man Ron Simmons in there.
Dude, I'm on like 70s overdose right now. I feel like I just went through the Twilight Zone.
Dude, that was Ron Simmons. You don't get more Soul Patrol than Ron.
No.
He wasn't in the Soul Patrol. Soul Patrol was Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson, Rock's father.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take that.
I'll take it.
Yeah. We're in great company
now. You look like you could be Tony Atlas.
I definitely don't look like I should be a part of the Rock's bloodline for sure. I'm not fit enough. I'm about five sizes too small.
410-583-1057. That's the number. The AL East, I feel, is wide open. I don't know. I didn't get from you whether you think it's wide open or not.
Yeah, I don't know if wide open in a sense of it's any of the five teams is race. I think it's a 2-3 team race right now. I don't feel comfortable putting the Orioles in there. I don't think they're just going to wake up overnight. Right now, I don't feel comfortable really putting stock into anybody besides the Yankees and the Red Sox and the AL East. I think between those two teams, sure, it's open. Maybe the Rays get hot. I put more stock into the Rays than I do the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. But Toronto and Baltimore, for me, it's tough for me to believe in them.
Okay. Toronto, just for purposes of Toronto, just that's what they do.
Yeah, I just think that's some teams you just are what you are, and I think that's the Blue Jays. They have talent. They've always had talent. They'll get hot at times, but sustaining it, they just haven't been able to do that.
You know, the Blue Jays remind me of the Padres three or four years ago.
Yeah,
with just collecting bodies.
Yep.
Oh, acquiring that's a good talent. Name. Let's go.
Yep.
That's a good. Well, you know, they don't fit together.
Yep.
That's the problem. And that's what the Blue Jays remind me of. They get a lot of pieces. Those pieces don't fit together.
And they're more talented in teams like the Rays. Yeah, but for whatever reason, I put more stock into Tampa just because maybe it is what you're saying. They seem to gel more. They seem to be more of a unit, more of a fist. And when they get hot, they can get really hot. But Toronto, it just seems like a bunch of individuals out there playing baseball.
Rosedale, Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Hi, Cordell. How are you?
What's up, man? Happy Friday.
TGIF and PYT, guys.
That's right, man. It's Friday now.
Another good start from Kramer. How can the Orioles solve their problems scoring runs? Have a fantastic weekend, guys.
You too, Antonio. How can they solve their problems getting runs? I was going to look at this stat earlier today. Let me find the stat that I'm looking for. Current baseball player, what did he do last year? I'm looking up Paul Goldschmidt's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Goldschmidt last year, career low in a lot of things. He had 22 home runs, very low for him. His batting average was .245. That's low for him. His career batting average is .290. On-base percentage was .302. His career on-base percentage is .382. His slugging was .414. His career slugging is .510. His OPS was .716. His career OPS is .891. Why did I bring up Paul Goldschmidt? Because this year so far, the power numbers are not there, but he's batting .341 with a .391 on base percentage. Why do you think so?
He's around a lot of talent out there.
Protection.
Yeah.
What does Colton Cowser and Jordan Westberg coming back to the lineup add? Some protection from top to bottom. The lineup's become more balanced. I think that is a problem right now. I do. I think that's a. Yeah. I think there's so many layers to this runners in scoring position. But Cordell, I don't know any issues that don't have layers.
Mm-hmm.
Most issues have layers because if they weren't layers, there wouldn't be issues. You just fix that. You know, we can't get over this. Why? Because we can't just fix that. We have that and we have this, that over there. You add that to it. I think there's so many layers to this, but I think the layers evolve around the injuries. I'm sorry. Everything you throw back at me, I'm telling you, it all began with the injuries. You talk about last year, it took a big part of that out of the lineup last year with Jordan Westberg going down. When you get out of sync, especially in baseball is the game that 3 out of 10 times for 10 years make you a Hall of Famer. Chances are it makes you a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you're off more than you're on.
Right.
So your rhythm has to be tight. And I just think they're out of rhythm right now, and I don't know what fixes it, but I just have a feeling that when they start getting players back, that'll start helping.
So let's say it is the injuries, right? Let's go with that and say that the injuries are the problem. It doesn't necessarily comfort me because now it feels like it has to be a perfect scenario for things to go right for them, because it's professional sports. Mm-hmm. It's sports in general. Injuries are a part of the game. So how often is it going to be to where none of these guys are hurt?
It's not, but momentum is a strong thing.
And no doubt.
I think you get these guys back, you can generate some positive momentum. And then when you have positive momentum, if one or two things go wrong, you've got momentum. Let's look at the opposite of momentum. Yesterday, even though he pitched a spectacular game, when Kramer gave up that home run to tie the ball game, what did you think?
It's over.
Why?
It's over.
Because you have the opposite of momentum right now. You know what? So what do you think those players thought? Here we go again. How are we going to find a way to lose this one? My coach told me this in college, and it stuck with me. Good teams find ways to win. Bad teams find ways to lose. Now, you may not be a bad team altogether, but you might be a bad team right now. I just think when you have that negative momentum going, the first thing that happens wrong, you tank. When you have positive momentum going, the first thing that happens wrong, you overcome it. I just think when you start getting some of these guys back and they can generate some positive momentum for themselves, these little things that happen during the game won't unravel them. That tied home run unraveled them yesterday.
So I guess my question is, when was the last time you felt like the Orioles had positive momentum?
Leading into the playoffs last year, I thought they had generated a little good mojo, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they got the bat shoved right up their rear end. But even in that, they gave up three runs in two games.
Right.
So it's been a while. I thought, you want to know when I thought positive momentum was? Game one.
Yeah.
I mean, and in that same series, you lost Colton Cowser.
Mm-hmm.
Game one, I thought, okay, here we go. All right, this is what they're made of. And then the next night, not so much. But I thought they did then. But for a long stint of time, it's been a long time. I can't tell you the last stretch that I felt like for a month this team was on. Maybe July.
I was about to say probably June.
Then they have a walk-off right going to the All-Star game.
Well, yeah, against that craziness against the Yankees. Yeah.
That's the last time I felt we were invincible. Like, this team, even when they do wrong, it turns out right. That's probably the last time I felt that way. Let's go out to Baltimore and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much, man. How are you?
All right. Hey, look, I heard something on another show. I want you to confirm it or deny it. I heard on another show that the Orioles had three hitting coaches. Is that true or what?
Not three hitting coaches. They have
Ashy and two assistant coaches.
Two assistants, yeah.
Okay, because
they all have their own responsibility. But Mike, can I kind of predict what you're thinking right now? You can confirm or deny this. Cordell was just alluding to too much information, and is that something you're worried about with three guys doing the job?
Exactly what I was thinking, okay. Man. That's exactly what I mean. And then the results we're getting from all of this. Over information.
And
real quickly, man.
And that's why, I'm going to let you go real quick. That's why earlier this week I said, if you get rid of the hitting coach, you cannot promote from within because they're all teaching the same thing. You got to get rid of all of them and bring somebody else in.
Right. And to this day, man, I'm still pissed about the regime that let Nelson Cruz go over like a 1-year thing. You see how productive he was as he left, man.
Didn't he play like 8 more years?
Yeah, 4 years, man.
I told you, I'm glad that regime is gone. I ain't got to look at him no more. You make me sick when I see you. Let Nelly Cruz leave the clubhouse, man. You know what that did to guys like Scope and Manny and all that, man? Mm-hmm. That was big for them. Those are young fellas back then, man, little pups. They were in there, what, third year, each of them?
Do you think something like that is possible when you lose guys like Santander? And even though Burns was only there for a year, obviously his impact as a true definitive ace, like losing guys like that, do you feel like maybe it's not the same as losing a Nelson Cruz, but what is the impact, do you think, of losing guys like that?
I told you before, we had this conversation last year. Anthony Santander was the leader of that clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
That was his clubhouse. I thought so for 2 years. You get a lot of other pieces there. He wasn't the dictator of it. He wasn't the king of it, but he was the leader of the clubhouse. I don't know. I think another leader of that clubhouse was that guy that played backup catcher for the Orioles, James McCann. You lose one of them, okay. I don't know what the impact of losing both of them. Don't give me the batting averages right now.
Right.
and the OPS and all those things. You know, I mean, maybe Santander, maybe the reason he's struggling is because he misses the clubhouse. Maybe he misses this one. You know, he and Q were tight.
Yep. That was his boy.
That's his boy. You know what I mean? So I don't know the impact that each move had on both sides.
That's fair.
And James McCann is bigger than you think. That Mary Franklin took a 95-mile-an-hour fastball to the face and stayed in the game.
He's got all my respect.
You know why he said he stayed in the game? He said for two reasons. Number one, that was Adley's day off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop you for a second. He took a 95-mile-an-hour fastball to the face, and one of the reasons that he played again was because it was Adley's day off. Leadership. Also, his kids were at the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta get up. You gotta get up.
You gotta get up.
You gotta get up.
His kid. Adley was also, while he's sitting there concussed, seeing doubles, he's thinking, man, Adley's off today. My kids in the stands. All right, let me get up and walk.
I'm leaking all over first base right now. I'm like,
James, you're leaking. It'll stop. It'll stop. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. Let's go to John in Towson. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, Rob. And I want to run a couple things by real quick.
Okay.
First thing is, there's some bad juju going on with your Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. And you know about this, Rob. You're around them. They let a guy go that had been in that organization for 40 years. The Oriole trainer, the head trainer, and nothing was said about it at all. That's wrong. Why don't you tell us, the fans, what happened with the Oriole trainer, Rob?
Who, won't I tell them? What the hell you think I was in that meeting?
1 hour later.
Homer's Ed, what's up, man?
Good morning, Soul Patrol.
What's up? What's up?
Hanging in there, man. Hey. How are you?
All right. Hey, Rob, man, my cousin Z, he works in parking lot A during home games, you know, assisting in parking. He did it 4 games, and he got fired. Nobody's talking about it. Why don't you tell the public, Rob? Why don't you tell the public why my cousin got fired, Rob?
Because when I opened my car one day, he was standing there, and I hit my door against his leg. It dented my door. And I told on him, and they fired him.
So you do know. You do know. Have a good week.
Have a good weekend, man. My man. Well, good timing by not only Homeless Ed, but also Joe. 1 hour later.
Yeah. It's clear you know everything that's going on in the walls in the castle.
You know, it's funny.
In the warehouse, I should say.
It's funny people sarcastically say, you know everything. And then they call in and say, you should know everything. I can't win for losing. I don't care. It is.
I don't know isn't an acceptable answer.
It's not. The people don't want to know that. They don't want to hear that. So make it up. You know why? Because, unfortunately, many people in out to do what we do come across like they do know everything. When you don't. I love it when people tell me, I know for a fact. How do you know for a fact?
Right.
Were you around them? I get guys talking all the time in this microphone. They tell you what goes on in the Orioles clubhouse. But I'm looking around like, I've never seen you here. Where you find this information out? Where you find it? I'm not going to tell you what goes on in the Ravens locker room. You know why? I'm there probably 4 times a year. I'm not there enough to tell you. I can tell you what goes on the field because we're both watching.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to give you inside the locker room stuff on the Ravens. I'm not in there enough to tell you that. I'd be misleading you. And when you mislead, you are a fraud.
Yes.
Bottom line. Tell us what you learned today, Cordell.
What did I learn today? I learned today that there are people, and I learned this from my Twitter. There are people that are still optimistic about the Orioles. There are people that still believe that this is kind of a fluke start to the season. There are people that believe that as guys get healthier, the season will do a complete 180. And I'm not here to say that that won't happen. Look, I watched them walk down the Rays, 2 years ago after the Rays got off that historic start and didn't win the division and really stunk up the joint for the rest of the season. So I'm not here to say that it's not possible, but I am surprised that I guess that there are so many people putting stock into the what ifs, you know, compared to the known that we have seen, not just this year, but I continue to say going back to maybe the midpoint of last year.
Maybe those people are going back to what you said 2 years ago when the team walked mm-hmm. another team down who started off on fire,
mm-hmm.
absolute on fire. So maybe that's what they're going back to. Today is National Military Spouse Appreciation Day.
Oh, okay.
If you don't know how important that is, ask a spouse of a military member how important that is. I'm going to see Kendrick Lamar tonight. Me and my son, Robbie, going to get in the 4Runner, head up I-95, go to MetLife Stadium.
That'll be a good
and
time.
And watch SZA. And I'm very excited to hear SZA.
Hair SZA or yeah. watch SZA?
I'm glad you said it that way because I'm just making sure nobody listens.
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just asking. These are the real questions.
Both. Yes. As Jeremy, in honor of Jeremy Kahn, both can be true.
Right.
One birthday today that I'm going to talk about. Let me spit these numbers to you, Cordell. In his career against Greg Maddux, well, we'll come back to that. Against Tom Glavine, he batted .312. On base percentage, .347, slugging .419, OPS .766. That's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Against Oral Hershiser, .321, on base percentage, .379, slugging .436, OPS .815. Against Fernando Valenzuela, .321, on base .349, slugging .310, OPS .760. These are the best pitchers in the game at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Against John Smoltz, .462. .485 on base percentage, .738 slugging, .1224 OPS. Against Kirk Schilling, .390 batting average, .395 on base percentage, .561 slugging, .956 OPS. Many consider Greg Maddux the best pitcher of his generation, am I right?
One of them for sure.
Batting average of .429. On base percentage .485, slugging the .538, OPS .1024. Happy birthday to the late great Tony Gwynn.
Mm.
He owned them Bammers, man.
True hitter.
He owned them. You're the best. You know who owned him?
Who's that?
Doc Gooden. Batting average of .243. On base percentage of .312. OPS of .626. Doc Gooden owned him.
I was about to try to guess. Tony Gwynn was maybe, he was probably going to be the third person.
Who were the first
two? I came around. Well, I tried to figure out what era you were going in. So as you were talking about the pitchers, I started to wane it down a little bit. I had to Google it because those numbers started to sound crazy against those type of pitchers. So I'm like, all right, it's a top two type of situation. Gwynn probably would have been a second or
Barry
third.
Barry Bonds?
Name. Bonds would have been one of them. Only reason I wasn't going to say Bonds is because you didn't mention home run numbers
okay,
like that.
True.
So that would have been kind of the telltale for him.
Cordell, it was fun, man.
It was.
Did you have fun?
I did. It's not many times I can say I had fun getting up at 4:30 in the morning. But, you know, the sun came out earlier now
yeah,
with this
did.
Time of year. It's Friday, so that helps. But today was actually pretty cool.
First time we worked
about.
Together.
Yeah, it was that. I was about to say, the first time we worked in this capacity. I think I was your producer one time
you
when
were.
You did this
by
yourself.
Early when you
yeah,
started.
That was a while ago.
Yep.
That was a while ago, but it's nice to be in a different seat now.
Absolutely. Is Vinny Serrato out today?
No, nah, he's here. I saw him.
I heard him say Norm. I heard him say he and Norm were doing something. That's why I thought
Well,
Vinny
I think
out.
Ryan is in at 12.
Okay, there you go. Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful weekend.